Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
I want to encourage you, turn in your Bibles here today at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So bring your Bible to this. Thanks for engaging in every week, for leaning in. And again, you can write the comments on the screen here, and you can engage with our hosts that are through the online experience, and just take notes, and let's get into this. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and the message today is titled, Let Light Shine Out of Darkness. Let light shine out of darkness. And then in chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, For God who said, Let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus. So what that means is that when we have Jesus in our hearts, everything about the essence of God lives inside of us, which is awesome. And by the end of this message today, I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision to invite the light that is the true light that will shine bright in any dark situation. I want to invite you to ask Jesus to come into your life. Ask that light to come into your life. Now, verse 7, it says, But we have this treasure, this light, God, in jars of clay. That's our lives. We are broken. We are weak. If there is somebody that you're sitting next to right now, turn to them and say, you're weak, bro. So we have this treasure in jars of clay to show, this is verse 7, that this all-surpassing power is from God and not us. It's God's power. Verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, and a lot of people have been feeling this through the recent season that we've been going through. We've been hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And the gospel is being preached all the way through this scripture. And then in verse 10, it says, We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be revealed in us. So the very Easter story actually can exist through our lives, where something was like a dark moment, but then all of a sudden the gospel came, Jesus came, he rose again, and something came to life that looked as though it was dead. And this lives in our lives. For you're alive and always been given to death, this is verse 11, for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. And then Paul says, so then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So Paul even takes it further. He says that he's happy for his body to go through hardships and darkness and even death in order that other people might experience the life and light found in Jesus. And then it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a message on the power of language and the power of the tongue. And when we believe, we speak. The belief system that's on the inside of us comes out of us through our words. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also ought to believe and therefore speak. Jump down to verse 15. It says, All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, do not lose heart. So if you're in a dark situation right now, I want to encourage you, don't lose heart. Do not lose heart. Though we're outwardly wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day, moment by moment. And I believe that you can be renewed in this message right now. That verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles, for our light, see, trouble, sometimes darkness, sometimes situations, even the climate of the world right now doesn't feel light and momentary. Sometimes they feel heavy and they feel like they're going to exist forever. But the Bible says that our troubles are light and momentary, and they're achieving for us, which is amazing. They're producing for us an eternal glory that far outweighs what we're going through. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Hey, I just want to tell you that no matter what situation you're going through right now, no matter what it is, whether it's financial, health, or anything, no matter how dark your life feels, I want to tell you that light shines through darkness. Being a Christian doesn't mean that we're exempt of bad things. That's not what this is telling us. It's not telling us that if we believe in a certain way, we're never going to have a bad thing happen to us. But being a Christian means that God will use any dark situation and say, "Let there be light." And this is the nature of God. When God created the universe, it was like in the beginning of Genesis there, it was like he was trying to tell us something about himself. He was trying to say, because it says that that it was a voided place, it was an empty place, and the universe was dark, and then God spoke. But God spoke, "Let there be light." And that's what God is trying to say to you and I, is trying to say through the Easter message, through this time in church, there needs to be one thing preached, and it's Jesus Christ, and that he is the light. And no matter how dark the situation is, we can always say, as Christians, as people that know Jesus, we can always say that there is light. So number one, faith sees problems as opportunities to bring glory to God. This is the posture of faith. You know, do you know that your problem isn't a problem for God? Do you know that? That no matter how big the mountain feels, God isn't biting his nails, freaking out about our situation. God is in control. You need to understand that. The problem for God is not that there are problems, it's that there might be no faith for the problems. That's the problem for God. In the beginning of this year, through prayer and fasting, our church did 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I really felt more clear than ever God speak to me and say, "Hey, listen, Sam," that's sometimes how he talks to me. He's like, "Hey, listen, listen up." He's like, "I want you to do everything you can to raise faith, to cause the city of Toronto to believe, to cause the church to believe." God is looking for faith. The Bible actually says that when he returns, faith is the thing that he's going to be looking for. In John chapter 11, it's the story of Lazarus. And it's this crazy moment where Lazarus is a dear friend of Jesus. Lazarus dies and they flock around Jesus and they say, "Hey, Jesus, you got to come, you got to come, you got to come." And then Jesus does the craziest thing, like in this dark moment. Like, wouldn't you think that Jesus was just going to act straight away? But the Bible says in John 11 that he stayed where he was for 3 more days. And then he says this. This is literally what he says. He says, "I'm glad for your sakes that you might believe, that you might have faith." Because sometimes if the situation isn't really, really dead, that we don't actually give God real, real glory. And then what was happening in that story is, like, you know, everybody was saying certain things about what was going on in Lazarus's life. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, I actually think that God intentionally designed the Bible and made it to be the shortest verse to make it stand out in a way. John 11:35 says 2 words. The shortest verse in the Bible says, "Jesus wept." Jesus wept. 2 words. And I find that quite interesting, because a lot of people think that Jesus was weeping because Lazarus was dead and he was friends with Lazarus. And I'm sure that grieved him in the moment. But what he was really crying about was the lack of faith. Because if you read the story, they weren't believing, they weren't thinking that Lazarus was going to be fine, that he was going to be alive. And why would Jesus be crying about someone that he was getting ready to sit down and have a latte with a little bit later? No. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He literally said to them, "I am the resurrection. I am the Easter story." That's what he's telling them. "I am the light of the world. And if you believe in me and have faith, I want to tell you," he's saying, "you don't need to, there's nothing to cry about, because at the end, I'm going to call Lazarus out and he's going to be alive and it's all going to be okay." And so no matter what you're facing, there is hope. There is hope. I'm not saying that you should be completely happy about what you're facing, but I'm saying that we need to be happy and understand, because God is going to do something great in what you're facing. And so this is going to, your story can preach such an amazing story about Jesus. I want you to think about what is the most impossible thing that you're facing right now. And in our Connect groups and in our Connect group discussion, the first thing that I want us to talk about throughout the week is just tell each other, what is the biggest problem that you face? What is the biggest impossible situation that you face? And I want to say that there is hope in that situation. That last year, there was people in pain, and there's people in pain all the time. The story, the Bible is full of stories of pain. Job is a story of pain. Joseph is a story of pain. Even the story of Jesus is a story of pain. And in all these stories, it always results that God wins, the devil loses, and that there is something great that's coming out of it. And so last year, there was a few people in pain really trying to conceive and have children in our church. And, you know, Jess puts on a women's night, we call it Her, and at the Her night, Jess felt that light needed to shine through darkness and pray over women who were believing that they were wanting to have children but were unable to conceive. And do you know what? Since that time, over 8 people have conceived and now have babies, and there are babies that are alive. Because doesn't matter how painful your moment is, it doesn't matter what you're going through, that God has a way. Amen. Amen. So the first thing in the Connect group discussion is I just want you to tell each other, what is the biggest thing? What is the biggest thing? What is the thing that when you say it out loud, man, it's a struggle for you to believe God? And so number 2, our faith is renewed by focusing on the right things. In here it says, in verse 18 it says, so we fix our eyes not what is seen, that's the problem, not what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, there's a promise right there. What is seen, the problem that you see, it's temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. The deal is that we will lose heart if our eyes are focused on the wrong things. What are your eyes fixed on? Does it build your faith or does it drain your faith? What are sometimes things that we can look at that drains our faith? Stories of faith build our faith. I just want to talk about a few things that build our faith. Stories of faith, we call them in church, we call them testimonies. Testimonies build faith. So stories of faith, if we keep our eyes fixed on that, that will build us and encourage us and fuel our faith. I want to tell you something that drains our faith. Comparison drains faith. Comparison drains faith. Sometimes we follow people on Instagram for the simple thing to motivate us and inspire us, but it's the very people that we're following that we want to inspire us that sometimes in a moment of insecurity that we are scrolling through Instagram and then find that that very same person is now draining our faith. And we compare ourselves to them. We think, man, I don't have what they have. I need more of what they've got. Or they were set up for success better than I was set up for success. And it reminds me of this story of the talents from the Bible with the one talent guy comparing himself to the 10 talent guy and saying, well, if I had 10 talents, then I'd be all right. But I'm just a one talent dude. You know, I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter whether you're a one talent person, a 5 talent person, a 10 talent person. It doesn't matter what you think other people have that you don't have. You need to know that you have everything you need for God to move through your life. Comparison will drain. We might think we don't have enough faith, but if you have Jesus, if you know Jesus and you have one prayer, then you have a measure of faith. For you to just decide, listen, I might not have everything that everybody else has. I might not have memorized half the Bible. I might not, whatever. My prayer life might not feel like it's where it needs to be. But listen, you don't need to be what you're not. God only requires who you are. And so don't let comparison drain our faith. It doesn't matter what other people have. You know, I would look at what other people have before we even started the church. And sometimes I would think, and Pastor Jess and I honestly have never felt adequate to do the job that God's called us to do. It seems like there's just a crazy mountain, a massive problem in front of us that for us to be pastors in the city of Toronto. I mean, so I come from a place called Traralgon. It's a small town. It literally, the word Traralgon in the Australian Aboriginal means the place of little fish, the river of little fish. And I somehow adopted that as an identity on my life, that I'm just, you know what, I'm just a little fish. I mean, I always joke about it, but I'm average in nearly everything. My shoe size is average. Like, my shoes never go on sale because they're the ones that's the same as everybody. And sometimes sameness can be the enemy of us feeling like that we have any value or uniqueness before God. But I'd even joke that when I did my immigration status, we're citizens now of Canada, but when I did my immigration status, I always thought I was 6 foot tall. Apparently I'm 5 foot 11. Talk about an identity crisis. Ask Pastor Jess. I went into like a cave for like 2 months after that, just so worried that God couldn't fulfill the call of God on my life because I'm 5 foot 11. Sorry for all of you that are out there that are 5 foot 10. Suckers. But you just feel like, you're not. I mean, I remember going to the city of Toronto and then walking thinking, I'm not an urban person. I grew up in a small country town and I was walking down Spadina and I'm walking down the street and just feeling such an intense sense of intimidation. A voice that was telling me, you cannot do this. You don't have what other people have and it's not going to work. But I want to tell you that God kept speaking to us. And like what it says here in verse 7, it says that we are these jars of clay. It's not so that we can know that we've got all that it takes. In verse 7, it says that it's because his all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So that all the success and everything that's gone on through this church's story, which we celebrate, it's not because I am anything special. It's because he is, and he is working through us, through you and I. It's his power. And so we defy the odds. That's what light shining through darkness is. That's what the gospel message of Jesus is. It's light shining through darkness. All things are possible for you and I when we have Jesus on our side. So the first thing in our Connect Group discussion, in our discussions through the week, was to just share with each other what is the biggest problem that we're facing. The second thing I want you to talk about is just highlight a few things that drain faith and build faith. Highlight a few things that drain faith and build faith. Our eyes need to be fixed on the Bible, on the Holy Spirit and his power, on stories of Jesus, and as I said before, past testimonies. Listen to this. Let me read this slowly. It's the stories of the past that help us have perspective for our present and give us hope for the future. It's the stories of the past that help give us perspective for our present and give us hope for the future. Even going through the whole COVID-19 thing and the situation all around the world, that people might say, man, we've never been through anything like this before as a church. Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's completely true. Like, yeah, we haven't seen COVID-19 hit the world before, but we've had to shut church services down before. We've gone through 13 different venues in the first year of our church and felt like the church wasn't going to continue. In the story of our church, there have been key moments where I have felt that trouble has hit. We've been hard pressed on every side, felt like that there was no hope. And then God's light shines through a dark situation. And it's happening right now, that all this stuff using church digitally and all the churches all around the world, I don't believe the gospel is being preached in a more significant way than what it has been in the last number of weeks. And I, for one, find that really encouraging. I believe light is coming out of a dark moment. So don't lose heart. Focus on the right things. Focus on things that build your faith and will fuel your faith. Last point is there is always, somebody say it, always. There is always hope. That is what the gospel message is about. There is always hope. Do you know there is no worst case scenario in Jesus? There is no such thing as a bitter end. That heaven is our destination. When we fix our eyes on eternity, we know that there is always hope, that the result is being in eternity with Christ Jesus forever. I mean, light is always at the end of the tunnel when you're a Christian. There is no worst case scenario. In this passage in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8 to 10, it says, and this is describing what Jesus experienced on the cross. And Easter is the story of Jesus dying on the cross, standing in our place, and then he went into a dark place. And I don't believe there has been a darker moment on the face of the planet that when the Savior of the world went into that tomb, darkness overshadowed the world, and the devil was trying to dance on the grave of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is nothing that you and I face that would be more dark than that. But yet Jesus rose again. So let's read. This describes what Jesus experienced on the cross. Hard pressed on every side. I mean, dying on the cross, you would have felt pretty hard pressed on every side. But Jesus wasn't crushed. His body was broken, but he wasn't crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. This means sometimes in problems, we can get so perplexed that we're confused. I mean, we're filled with doubt and, you know, we're not in despair. Despair means the absence of hope. And for Jesus, even facing the cross was sweating blood, like confused. I'm sure he thought to himself, I don't know if I can do this. He prayed to his Father, let this cup pass from me. The process to just stick to the plan and to continue to be the Savior of the world. I mean, but he was never without hope. And that is like us. We might feel confused and might feel anxious and might feel like, you know, totally flipped upside down, but we will always have hope. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Jesus on the cross, he was put on the cross by all the people that he would consider friends. He was put on the cross by people that were Christians. He was put on the cross, essentially, really what the message is Jesus was put on the cross. He was persecuted by you and I. Our lives and our sin put Jesus on the cross. But that's not for us to feel negative about, is Jesus was an abandoned. His Father was with him the entire time. And he said, God, why have you forsaken me? But it's not because God left him. It's that Jesus, it was a message that Jesus was saying is that in order for him to rise again, in order for him, he needed to take what it would mean for God to forsake us on the cross on top of all our sin. I mean, I couldn't think of a more dark situation than not knowing that God is with me. And you might feel forsaken sometimes. You might feel like you've been abandoned. You might feel like that your story, that God doesn't care about it, but it is a lie and it's not true, because God will never abandon you. No matter how much you think he is absent from your life, he loves you, he cares from you, and he is for you. That is what the message of Easter is all about. And he was struck down. Jesus was struck down, but risen. And so that's what this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is all about, is telling us the story of Jesus. And I just want to tell you that these moments that we go through, that when you give to God your hardest moments, when you fix your eyes on things that build faith, and you can be surrounded like you are right now in community. And that's the third thing I want to ask you to do, is I just want to ask you at the end of this to take a moment and in your connect groups this week to just pray for one another. Stand in faith for one another. What happens is when we gather together and we agree in the name of Jesus with faith, that miracles happen. And we have seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle as a church. So listen, I want to tell you that no matter how dark it gets, that light shines through darkness. There was no moment darker than the Savior of the world dying on the cross. But in the Easter message, there is no moment brighter than him rising again and standing with the Father in heaven to be our Savior, to be our Lord, and to be this light that you and I can carry in our hearts so that we know God. And we know that no matter what we face, he is with us. So I just want to ask you, just as you're looking at this, as you're watching this, whether it's online, on a device, or in your living room, I just want to ask you to take a moment to close your eyes and to consider inviting this message into your heart. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray in a minute. And if you've never made a decision like this to invite the light of the world, to invite Jesus into your heart, I would like for you to make that decision right now. Or maybe you've someone that made that decision before, but it's Easter time. And now that the message has come up again and you're listening and considering this, you have found yourself in dark situations, fearing that God is not there too. And you might need to recommit your life to Christ. I want to tell you, this is the most important decision that we ever make, is to have a decision that invites Jesus into our heart to be our Lord and Savior and to live with us. And when we do, we have this light that defeats darkness. We have the light that shines in any dark situation, no matter what it is. So if that's you, what we're going to do is we're just going to pray this prayer. Just repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, you might just want to close your eyes while you're watching. Just say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on a cross for me. Forgive me. Make me new right now and help me follow you as my Savior and my Lord from this moment on. Amen. Amen.